Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Thank you for every joining us close this morning, this afternoon, to hear your word. We pray, oh Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling and what is the exceeding great riches that you have in you. Father, we pray that every form of confusion, every form of distraction from the camp of the enemy in this place, we scatter you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we ask you to take off your limit from the people. I set every mind free in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I, Father, I pray that your word will gain ascendancy into the heart of the people. I pray that, oh Lord, your word will not come and not accomplish its purpose, but it will accomplish its purpose before it returns to you. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Shall you be seated in the presence of the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
Wow. I am so humbled. Amen. To stand before you and to preach. Amen. Of all the people who are worthy to stand here, hey, I'm the least. Amen. But it's a blessing. Amen. It's a great blessing of the Lord to stand before his people. The people he bought with his blood, went to the cross, suffered, was humiliated just for us. Amen.
Amen.
And it's an honor to be called and to be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Before I preach, I would like to thank the Lord for the life of our bishop, the presiding bishop of Lighthouse. Amen.
Amen.
I believe he's a torch bearer. Amen. He's carrying a big torch, and the torch is shining. It's going far and deeper. Amen. And it's through his obedience to God's call upon his life that all of us are seated here. And I also want to thank God for the life of the other founding bishops who, through their support and their faithfulness and their loyalty to him, the church has not been dispersed, or they've not destroyed the foundation which the Lord started. Amen. Because it's another thing to have a faithful assistant to be with you and to support you and to believe in you, that you are called by God. Because when people look at your life, when people look at your stature, they don't believe that you are easily called. Amen. So for someone to believe and be with you and to say, oh, I believe in you and that I will support you, it's a great blessing. Amen. And Bible says one of the fruit of the Spirit is that what? Faithfulness. Amen. That you are faithful is a fruit that you've born. Amen. I also want to thank God for the life of our apostle. Amen. Apostle Joel. Amen. For only the call of God also upon his life. When he was asked to come here, he came. He obeyed. Amen. If he had disobeyed, you see that Lighthouse will not be in U.S. Amen. And you and I, by this time, we'll be doing overtime. Amen. We'll be taking other opportunities somewhere. Amen. Some of us will not even think about God. Amen. But through his blessing, we are here. And through him, we also have our father, Reverend Bright. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a great blessing. You see that it's a whole lot of blessing that has come to us. Amen. And as you can see, it's an anointed man of God. Our father, very anointed. Amen. Teaching us with wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Amen. We listened to last week. He said, oh, practically that I'm giving unto you wisdom, knowledge. This is wisdom, knowledge. Amen. And it's a blessing. Amen. Wow.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm preaching. Amen.
Freedom.
Today I want to talk to you about something very important to our Christianity. Amen.
Amen.
Something that will give you a foundation in the Lord. Something that will establish you in God. Amen.
Amen.
And will cause you to survive and to come against the fiery trials of the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Today I want to talk about six powerful results of your salvation. Amen. Six powerful results of your salvation. Amen. When we sit for an exam, or after we decide to take an exam, and you've written the exam, you expect a result, right? Yeah, and the result that you expect, it can either be a fail or pass, or either you come out with what, distinction. Amen. And this result is dependent on your actions or the things that you do, your preparation before that exam. Amen. How much you spend in the night learning, or how well you are familiar with the material which is given to you, or the material upon which you are going to be examined. Amen. So if you don't invest or you don't give much attention to that material, you end up bombing. Amen. It is true that the grace of God will also help you. But if you don't learn very well, you see that you will suffer. And that failure will come to you. So you see that the result that you get from the exam will depend basically on how much you learn. Amen. And also the grace of God being with you. Amen. That's how come you end up being a failure or what? Someone who has passed. Amen. And so the result of your salvation, what we mean by result is basically the consequence of an action that you've taken. Amen. And so when you come to Christ, after you've taken a faithful step of accepting God, coming to God and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, there are some also results that we expect. And there are some benefits that come to us. And it's a blessing that will come to you because you've come to accept Jesus Christ. Amen. And the way of salvation is just the same. You must confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Amen. Let's read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Bible says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Bible says, why? Because it is with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you confess unto salvation. That is basically what salvation is. There's no other way that you can go about it. You must believe in your heart and confess it. Amen. Amen. And so when you confess Jesus Christ, a lot of things, a lot of blessings will come to you. Amen. And these blessings are powerful. Why are they powerful? It's because it can be a blessing or it can be a curse. In that, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you have curses. And the curse of it is that you spend your life in hell, eternity in hell. Where the Bible says hell is a place that where a worm will not die. Amen. The Bible says there will be gnashing of teeth. You ask for a drop of water, not a cup of water. Amen. Or not a glass of water. Amen. You will suffer. You see, you will be in anguish. Amen. And that's the place that God doesn't want you to go. Amen. That's why you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Amen. And the blessing part of it is that when you accept Jesus Christ, these blessings will become your path. Amen. Become things that God will give to you. God will impute them unto you, and you will benefit them and to help your Christianity. Amen. And the blessing is God that blesses. Amen. And God is the ultimate blessing. Look, a man can bless you, but if God does not approve of it, you will still be the same the way you are. Amen. I don't want to spend time explaining blessings, but you can go and listen to Bishop's podcast, How to Get Thyself Blessed, How to Get Yourself Blessed. It's a detailed teaching on how to get yourself blessed. And you'll be blessed if you listen to it. Amen. Amen. Wow. But unfortunately, these blessings that we have as people who are saved, many of us Christians, we are ignorant of these blessings. Amen. And because of our ignorance, we don't enjoy our salvation to the fullest. Or we don't use the blessings that we have. It's like you have something, but you don't know how to use it. Amen. We don't enjoy our salvation to the fullest. You'll be stressed in the house of God. When you come to the house of God, there's nothing like excitement. There's nothing like joy. It's like you there, your Christianity, there's problem. Here and there, you have problems. Here and there, you are suffering. But there are blessings. And when you take opportunity of that blessing, you enjoy your Christianity. You see that your Christianity will be so enjoyable. When you come to the house of God, you feel free and shout without anybody questioning your destiny. Amen. A story was told of a man who wanted to travel from Africa to Europe. And this man has saved all his life, all the money he has worked for. He purchased a ticket that he will go on the ship. He tried months. He has saved lifetime savings. He said, oh, if I get to London, something will happen. So let me give my life away and save all. And some of us also do that. We save money and look for one occasion. Let me get a dress, and that's all. Amen. So this man happened to get the ticket to come. So he got on board. Amen. And in this ticket, there were a lot of things attached to it, packages, like a lot of things you have to enjoy. like it's like your benefits in, at your workplace. A lot of things are tied to it. So when he gave money, he said, oh, me, as much as I force, and I get this ticket, look, me, I will not even spend any money on that ship again. Look, all that I will do, buy Gary, a lot of Gary, and I will buy, you see, you buy bread and a lot of water. You add a bottle of water, you keep it for months. Because the journey is going to last for months. He said, oh, me, I've loaded myself. Oh, he thought he knew, but he didn't know. Amen. So they were on there, the people were enjoying. Amen. Other people have the knowledge that, there's a package attached to this ticket. Or when you come, when you look behind, you know, there's a lot of enjoyment. So people were in the swimming pool. They were jamming. People were eating fried rice. People were eating McDonald's. People were going and they were eating things that they were. But this man was in his cabinet. He said, no, me. As for me, it is the Gary now. It is the Gary and the Gary. You see? So it was one day to the end of the trip, right? So this man came out and people were partying. And they were like, oh, my brother, where have you been? We've not seen you. It has been a month. We've not seen you anywhere. So, oh, me, I was down there. I said, Baba, why are you not here enjoying? Why are you not here enjoying? The man, he said, no. I don't have money. Then the one man told me, look, this thing is, all this thing we are enjoying is part of the package. You see? So you could see that this man was so ignorant. And that's how some of us are. God has given us a lot of blessings. A lot. But we don't know about them. And we don't use them. It's like an inheritance has been left for you, but you don't know about it. And you are just working. Every day you there, you are poor. Meanwhile, you don't know that God has a lot of blessings for you. Amen. That's why Paul wrote to Philemon. He said, look, that the communication of thy faith, Philemon chapter 6, Philemon 6, it's the only one chapter. So it's Philemon 6, amen. So Philemon 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging the things which, everything that you have. Oh, you are not there. May become effectual by acknowledging the things that you have in Christ Jesus. So there are a lot of things that we have. Your communication of your faith, which faith that we have, the faith of Christianity, the hope and the calling that we have, that it becomes effective. So with that, you acknowledging the things that you have, you see that your Christianity will be shaky. And it will be like somebody is worrying you or somebody has called you to come and suffer and to come and die for your own problems or something. Amen. But the Bible says that the communication of thy faith may become very effectual. Amen. By what? That you acknowledge. Take note that you will get to know. That you know the things that you have. All the things that you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when we read Ephesians chapter 1 verse, I think verse 15 down to 18. Verse 18 specifically says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And when your eyes of understanding is enlightened, you will know the hope of your calling. And Bible says, what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints? So we have a lot of things to inherit. You see, it's like God is not like a man that you have to die before your will can be disclosed to your children. But God, the Bible says, look, when you pray, mercy. When in Christ Jesus, we will know our inheritance before. We know it, the things that we have in Christ. Amen. And that's why you have to know about these things. So that you will enjoy your Christianity. So that the devil will start tormenting you. Because the devil has tormented them for a long time. A very, very long time. And it's like, when you come to, when we see you, nobody has seen any nice part of our Christianity. Because we don't know. Just because we don't know. And we are just like that man. Look, the same thing I told you, the thing happened to me. It happened to me. Yes. It happened to me. You see, when I was coming. Amen. Amen. Look, it happened to me. I'm telling you. You think like I'm joking, but really it happened to me. So, actually, look, all of us have first times, right? Oh, yeah. So, that was my first time going or flying. So, I had the opportunity to board Emirates. So we have to transit to Dubai before coming here. But on top of my ticket, like attached to my ticket, that when you get to Dubai, you have a chance to go and eat somewhere and feed yourself before you continue the journey. I don't know about it. Look. Hey. When I got to Dubai, I just sat there like, I sat to, even what I couldn't ask for, what, because they, look, I have the opportunity to go down and go and enjoy. I don't know about it too. Hey. And look, last time I was also in a bus with some uncles and aunties, and they were also talking about the same flight that, oh, they don't know. The uncle said, when he got to Dubai, he went to buy a lot of stuff, not knowing. The boss said, don't you know that there's a restaurant part combo? It's like a joint. You have to enjoy. You see? So when we're saying this, I kept quiet. I don't want them to know my problem. I don't want to tell them about my problem. I kept quiet. All that I was saying in my head is, you're also part of it. Amen. So, look, a lot of us are not enjoying our Christianity because we don't know the things that we have. The Bible says that the communication of thy faith, the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Amen.
Amen.
What you proclaim that you are, become very effective just because you acknowledge the things that you have in Christ Jesus, all things that you have in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to acknowledge the things that you have, you'll be merciful to someone. You'll be able to extend your hand to a brother or to a sister then when the person is in need. Amen. Because you see, we receive a lot of things in Christ Jesus. Do you see? Amen. So what are these things that will happen to you or the results of our salvation? What are the things that we stand to benefit? Amen. Do you want to know? You want to know. You may see it at basics. Amen. But it's something that we all need to know. Amen. The first thing that will come to you, or the first powerful result of your salvation, is that all your sins, your past, present sins are forgiven. And your future sins will be forgiven if you confess them. Amen. So it's a blessing. Tell your neighbor that all your sins are forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice. Anyway, look, tell your neighbor, do you remember the past ones and the present ones? They were all forgiven. The future ones will be forgiven if you confess them. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Amen. Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Bible says, if, it's a conditional statement, if only you confess your sins, God will become what? God also will have the opportunity to do four things to you. Bible says what? God will be faithful to you. If you read it in King James, maybe you don't get it well. Let's read the message one. Then you understand that maybe I'm not just coming to force a scripture to explain. You understand it there. Amen. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. So do you see, when you admit your sins, God, this is what God would be unto you. That one, he will not let you down. That means God will be faithful to you. Men will always remember your sins. But God, because God will be faithful to you. And he will be true to himself. Amen. Amen. He will be true. He will be just to you. Amen. And the other one, that he will forgive your sins. Amen. And he will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Amen. So when you confess your sins, Bible says God will become faulty. Your condition is that just admit that what? You are a sinner. You see, don't struggle. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, that look, you must agree with your enemy before he drive you to court. If you don't know, he will take you there and they will put you in prison. This was what Jesus Christ taught the people about admit you. Yes, when you admit, I accuse you. It's like when the devil accuses you before God that you are a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But if you admit, God will become this issue. Some of us don't admit our sins. We don't. We don't. You see, you know that you have a problem, but you don't know that you don't want to admit it. Amen. And if you want to struggle with Satan, Satan will drive you to court. Amen. So people say, agree readily. When your neighbor is driving, look, I'm here. I didn't know I've done it. You see. So when you admit that you've committed that fornication, people say, if you confess it, God will forgive you. If you admit that you stole the thing, you picked the thing without your brother's knowledge, God will forgive you. Or you have not been faithful, God will forgive you. Amen. And God will cleanse you. Amen. God will be faithful to you. God will be just to you. You see, when we look at forgiveness and cleansing, there is difference, okay? In that, for example, when you take your daughter or your son, and you ask him, no, don't go and dirty your clothes. But when he came to church, he went on the floor, messing up the whole area. You see? And he came. You see, you said, Mommy, I'm sorry. You said, oh, you're okay, you can go. But at that time, that guy has to go and wash himself before he can be cleansed. Amen. But Bible says that if we admit our sins, God will forgive you. And I said that God will take you and come, and I will cleanse you. Amen. So it's a powerful thing that we have. It's a powerful blessing. So if you don't admit, you are done for. Amen. So always make sure you confess your sins and God will be this thing to you. Will forgive you and cleanse you. Bible says there's no man, a good person on earth that liveth and have no sin. If that's also a scripture, like you would think you are good, man, you don't have sin. You see, so always admit your sins. Amen. And many of us don't admit our sins because we think that we can forgive ourselves of our sins. Like you can forgive yourself of sins. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness of sins will always and will surely and forever be through the blood of Jesus. Amen. John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Okay. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. So, you see, look, what I'm saying, I'm not saying that you go and sin deliberately and come and tell God that you are. If that's what you are taking from me, then you are not getting what I'm saying. Do you see? But what I'm saying, Bible says, look, I wrote to you, he said, I wrote to you, children, I wrote to you that you will see, that this I wrote to you, that you will not sin. Do you see? But, because God know that your weakness, can one way or the other take you back. But I said, then if you have sinned, no, don't go back. Don't say that I'm going to forgive myself of my sin before I come back to Christ. Don't go back. But what? We have someone who advocates for us in the presence of God, and it is Jesus Christ. It will always be Jesus Christ. There's no, you can look the sacrifices that our forefathers have taught us, that you go to a shrine, they will bath you. It does not cleanse you. It makes you a dirty person more. Amen. You will be smelling with the leaves that they bathed you. Amen. Look, I'm saying it because I've experienced it. Yes. Do you see? Don't see it's weird. But when we were young, they tell it, around Christmas, the end of the year, they say, you have to go and purify us. Yeah. And we will all go. And when they battle, we are happy. In fact, you don't want the leaf to fall from your skin. But as I grew up in Christ, I realized that, those things were things which were not. I was rather being dirty by green leaf and this thing. Amen. Some of them, after battle, your skin will itch because at least you develop an allergy. Do you understand? So the forgiveness will always come through Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says, how many of us in fighting fighting against sin have come to a point of shedding our own blood for our sins? You cannot die for your own sins. But you, because of your sin, you left the church. You don't know about this. that your sins are forgiven through Christ Jesus, you will leave the church. You will leave the church as though mercy. You will leave the church as though you Christ has not done anything for you. And it's painful in the sight of God that I die for my people, but they don't know. That's why we are sharing this thing, the powerful result of our salvation. That next time when you sin, remember that God is there. But Bible says God has died for us in Hebrews chapter 12. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read the Amplified Version. Our projector is messy. Bible says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily or deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Let's go on. Oh, man. Looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, right hand of the throne of God. Continue. We are looking for verse 4. Just think of him who endured for sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and faith in your mind. Verse 4. You have not yet struggled and fought agonizing against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. You see, our struggle, like you think that if you go out of the church, you can forgive yourself. You cannot forgive yourself. You've not shed your blood for your own sins. Amen. And so the forgiveness will always be in Jesus Christ. Amen. So the one of the best that we have is our past and our present sins are all forgiven. And the future ones will be forgiven if only we confess them. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The second powerful result of your salvation is you have received eternal life. Amen. That's life eternal. John chapter 5 verse 24. Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. This is what the Bible says, whosoever will hear my word will be like, he has everlasting life. Do you see? Look, we always read the story of Lazarus and the rich man. But you see, one of the things that you will not get from that story is that what the rich man did, that made him to go to hell, or what Lazarus did and made him went to hell. Amen. But when you take a critical look at the conversation that went on between Abraham and the rich man, in the latter verses, you will see that there is something that the rich man did not do. And it's like, Father Abraham, he was the one that who told us the specific thing. Amen. So, what did he say? He said, if you will listen, if they will listen to Moses and the other prophets, they will not come there. So there's always, you have to listen to someone who is preaching the word of God and you'll be saved. But Jesus Christ is saying that if you will listen, very, very, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I'm saying to you, that if anyone, you hear my word, you just have to hear. Because if in hearing, you receive faith, then you'll be saved. If you will not be condemned, you will receive eternal life. So one of the things, the reason why you, when you listen to the word of God, and you were saved, one of the blessings that you have in Christ is that you have eternal life. Amen. But many of us do not set our eyes on eternal life. We don't know about it, that this is a blessing. So it's like, you don't enjoy it. You don't enjoy it like someone who have a hope of even seeing God. Amen. So you see that the rich man, he had of all his riches, and rich people, most of them are very some way. They don't easily listen. When you talk to them, they think about their money. Because, look, and money is something that always compared to God, or compete. You always compete with God. That's why the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. It's that you love the money fully. Fully. Love the money fully. Or love God fully. That's it. You cannot serve. You see? So you see that it's like when God said that, God is talking about Satan competing with him. He said money, mammon, money. The money. The love of it. The Bible says it's the root of all evil. Your love for money will lead you to do a lot of evil. Just to get the money and to look at the people, they want a lot of money. People will use every form to sell their products. They will give you a percentage that, oh, come, I will sell this thing is going on sale. But it's not actually on sale. If you look at it, you look at the original price, they put everything, they will tell you, at the end of the day, they will tell you, tax. You see? So they use mischievous ways to get their money. So it's like, they know that maybe this one, if you put it in the store by maybe $70, when people can say, hey, so they will write the $70, and they know that the actual price they want to sell the thing is $50. They'll tell you 20% off or something. When you go, say, yeah, minya discount. I'm going to buy. You see, when you go, like, just to trick you and get their money. And it's like you are deceiving a whole lot of people. The whole people that will come to you, you are deceiving them. You are leading them astray. Amen. So it's money will always be the problem. Amen. So the rich man did not listen. They preach, give your life to Christ. He said, no, me, my money can buy me a car. I can go to the hospital. So, look, Lazarus saying, Lazarus, if you analyze the story of Lazarus very well, medically, you know, Lazarus was a man suffering. He has no option than to accept. Look, his hope is gone. He said, no, like, I must listen. So some of them are proud though, but most poor people are humble. Amen. And he listened. He listened to the preacher. He listened to the Moses and others. He listened to Moses and he was saved. And Jesus Christ is saying that if you listen to the preacher, what the preacher said, give your life to Christ so that you don't go to hell. If you listen, that salvation is through Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. And that's it. You will not go and gnash your teeth in hell. You will not go and saying that I'm in torment. You will not go and say that this place is itching me. I can see worms here. I'm crying. You know, you will go, look, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. You will go to hell. Look, we cannot, there's no other truth that you can hear apart from that. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, you go to hell. That's the truth. It's basic. It's the truth. And you must accept Jesus Christ. You must confess him. You must accept him. Let it come to you. Don't harden your heart when you hear that call. Don't depend on your money, because your money cannot buy you eternity. Rich man, one of them, at least one, is in hell. You don't want to be the second person. Amen. So do not harden your heart when you hear the call of God. Maybe you are sitting here, you are also not born again, but as I'm in America. What? Look, green card cannot do anything for you. Neither can your citizenship send you to. Look, you see, Bible says every knee shall bow. Look, the people who are giving the green card, they will bow. And the green card itself will fly away. Amen. And your passport, you will not be thinking about it. Like rich man, he wasn't thinking about his money. He was thinking about other people, souls. You would think that, why did I receive Jesus Christ when I was on earth? Why didn't I? You see? So a time, look, if now is the time. Don't harden your heart when you hear the call of God. And God is knocking at the door of your heart. He said, if you open, he will come and sup with you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't trust in your wealth. Don't trust in what you have, the clothes that you have. Don't trust in them. Because they will not get you anywhere. When you die, you check out of them, like the way you park out of your house, your old house, apartment. You check out, they'll be left here. And you'll be there. Don't let your soul go and suffer. If this is what we have, if this is the real us, then dogs are more important than us. Because when they die, we can eat them. Yeah, you go to Ghana and see people don't eat dogs. Instead that you find you have you admit them. Ah, you talk about dog cats. You go to Ghana, you will see they will not survive a minute on the road. When they can't knock them, pow, people are running. You take them away. Amen. So, but. You see, when you are knocked down by a car, nobody will come for you. In fact, in Nigeria, I heard that when you drop on the floor like a car knock you, oh, forget. Everybody will run you so that you become like a road. But I also learned that when a dog is knocked on their road, hey, a certain tribe, they run for it quickly. Amen. And so you see that if this is all that we have, and this is what we trust in, wearing jewelry, you are nothing. You are nothing. Amen. So you have eternal life if you have come to Jesus Christ. So don't be like the rich man. Don't harden your heart. Don't trust in your money. But rather, accept Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. Amen. The third thing that will come to you is that you now qualify to be, or you are now a child of God. Amen. Look, many of us deceive ourselves. We have deceived ourselves for a long time that all of us are sons of God. Who told you? Who told you? Like, which part of the Bible says that? You believe, like, look, when I was younger, they said, oh, all of us are sons of God, sons of God. Until I also discovered learned in a church that, no, actually, it's not true. It's a very big deception. A very big deception that not all. And there is stated clear in the Bible. You can go and bring another thing that you believe in. Let's compare. It's clear. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yeah. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that are called on his name, that believe on his name, which, verse 30 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. So until the time you accept Jesus Christ, no. Forget. You are not. You are the daughter or the son of your mother. That's it. That's the best way we can say it. You see, you are your mother's son. But all of us are creatures of God. God has created all of us. You see, on the Bible, until you accept someone who is Jesus Christ, you've not qualified. The Bible says you are not born of the flesh. The Bible says he that is born of the flesh is flesh. That's why when you came out of your mother, you were like me. Do you understand? But if you are born of God, God is spirit. The Bible says he that is born of spirit is spirit. That you will be, surely be. You will surely be. Amen. So if until the time you accept Jesus Christ, you've not qualified. I believe strongly that you've not qualified. Look, the people will tell you they believe in God. Look, Bible says, believe in what? Jesus Christ. So people come over, all of us are, look. Look, who do you believe in? Who is your, who do you emphasize your teachings on? Who do you base your principles on? Is it on Jesus Christ? Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Then you have not qualified. I can call you my brother in the flesh, like we are brothers. But in the spirit part, if you've not received Jesus Christ, you've not qualified. That this is a benefit for all of us. And when most of us are proud of our parents because of the things that we know that we'll have when they die. Amen. But look, when you become a son of God, a lot of things come to you. What does Romans 8 chapter 7 say? The Bible says, if heirs, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Like everything that belongs to Jesus Christ is ours. We will share it. but we'll share it. We'll share it fully. It's like, you there, you've not gone on the cross, but you share it. Amen. And that's the way of God, that you must accept Jesus Christ to be qualified as a son. Bible says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, is born of God. You are born of God. Nothing can change that. Look, and also don't, look, when you come to church, or coming to church doesn't make you a son of God. You come to the church, look, you can enter a garage, but you don't need to enter a car. You cannot. Because I've entered it several times. I entered the garage. I've not been in a car. I'm still churning. Amen. So you come to church, you deceive yourself in the fact that you are in church. You are not born again yet. Until the time you accept Jesus Christ, you are not born again. Amen. So you don't sit and be deceiving yourself or be deluded in the fact that you come to church on Sunday. Church membership is not born again. Your name can be on our list, but what of in heaven? What of in heaven? And that's, you must give your life to Christ to qualify. Amen. And the blessing that will always be your path. Amen. Isn't it not a blessing to be a son of God? It's a blessing. Amen. The fourth one. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are now a new creation. Amen. Bible says all old things are passed away. The former things, the former lust that we have, the things that we desire, all of them, God will take it away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Bible is not saying that God is going to make old things new. Bible says that they passed away. They are gone. Bible says everything has become new. You become a new creature. And this is what many of us don't understand. That now when you come to Jesus Christ, you are now a new person. God has created you a new person. And so when you see yourself even obeying the word of God, you find it that it's the problem. You rather see it as a problem. Like, oh, you are not thinking normal. You join the people in outside to tell us that some of us, we don't act abnormally. It's because you are not aware of this gift that a new spirit is put into you. Amen. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Amen. This is what the Bible is saying. This is what the Bible is saying. This is how you become regenerated. You are regenerated. A new part of you is born. And that part is the one you go to obey. So don't find yourself problematic. Like, there's a problem with you if you are obeying the call of God, or you are obeying what God has called you to do, or you are even listening to the preacher man, and you are not doing certain things. Don't say, oh, you behave abnormally. Don't tell your friends. If I don't tell them, just obey. Amen. Because that's the new nature that God has given unto you. Look, no religion has promised a change of character or a change of behavior. We don't obey new set of rules. It's not like when you come, you say, now that you are in Jesus Christ, when you come, you remove your shoe. If you want to pray, bow down 3 times, you raise your head, stand to the board, and see if you see Jesus. No. No, that's not what you are saying. We are not saying, come back, you don't obey new set of rules. These were the fundamental things for every human being. Just that human being has regretted God and has gone. We have gone. Bible says all of us have gone astray. We've gone. We've rejected the path of God. The fundamental one, to obey God, we've rejected it. We've gone our separate ways. We're all like sheep. We've gone astray. So this is a fundamental law that you are supposed to obey. So it's not a new set of rules. In fact, if you are just speaking against your nature, that's the true nature of man. That's how God created man to be. To obey these rules. Not that your old nature, but this is what you are going to obey. So it is normal to listen to a pastor. It is normal to listen to the word of God. It is normal to obey. When you read the Bible, you get some information. Hold on to it. Make it practical in your life and move on with it. Amen. So you are a new man. A new man. Don't go about saying other things about yourself. You must, again, acknowledge. You must take note, like, this is who I am. I am now a person who's supposed to obey. You obey the new in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't speak against your nature. You are just hurting yourself. If you say, oh, you see yourself abnormal. Who said? You are not. You are not. You are never. That's the fundamental. From the foundation, God wants man to obey him, but we disobey. When we were born, nobody taught us how to lie. You begin to lie, not you begin to lie. And God wants to draw you. Bible says they know God, but they don't retain God in their memories. So God said, no, go. So when you come back, God will give you a new heart to obey and a new spirit. You become regenerated. And that's why your body does not change. It's your spirit that we are talking about here. And that's the part of you God wants to save, not your body. Because, look, and there's the benefit of your spirit being saved will benefit your body too. Let's analyze it. Now, if you are a Christian, we know that don't drink too much or don't get yourself drunk. Okay? Now, what are the complications of someone being a drunkard? One of the things that you can suffer from is cirrhosis of the liver. You see, your liver will be cirrhosis. Like, there's something in the liver called porta hepatis. And that's where three vessels passed. And so, if you take too much, you give yourself to drinking. You see, that's the complication that you suffer. And you see that, when the blood has gone through your system, it has have to come back to be cleansed again before you go. And when you have the cirrhosis of the liver, it doesn't go. So the system becomes occluded. Now you see that your stomach becomes bigger. You become bigger. And before you realize, you see veins on your stomach. Like they are coming like a head of Medusa. Amen. So I think another name for it is Caput Medusa. But it's actually called ascites when you got Caput Medusa. Amen. So those are the things that, okay, for instance, let's also take smoking. Do not smoke. You take it and we are obeying, you coming to me to obey a word, the word through. After, you see, you have lung cancer. Your lung will be destroyed. Emphysema and all the things will complicated will be you. That's what you will suffer with it. So your spirit being saved and being obedience to the word of God and will benefit your body. That's why Paul prayed that your whole body, your whole spirit, your soul and body preserved blameless. It will be blameless. So it's a great benefit. A very great one. A very great one. It's a blessing. Let's another part of you. If you say fornication, don't do it. Hey. Amen. So, also, what can come? You get Ebola. Yeah. Amen. Before we come to the other aspect, the STDs. Amen. So you see that your whole life is being complicated. So just obey. Just obey. Amen. The fifth one. We are ending very soon. Amen. Your name. The fifth one is that your name is written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. It's a benefit. Many of us are excited when you get to know that our names are in American system. That when you go and they fingerprint, like your name appears. But there's a greater blessing that your name will be in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life, in Jesus' book of life. That's where your name is. Oh. You see, like when they give you your visa, you are so happy. Hey, people, they know my name. Hey. It's like when they scan your finger, it's like, this one, they're Omakumi. What a joy to find my name in my finger in their system. Hey. But there's a far greater joy, which is in heaven. And when the one of the things that you are assisted here, but your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. Amen. So you see the people in the church, people, these are people who believe in Jesus Christ. They were working for, their names are in the book of life. Amen. But anyway, this is not the actual scripture to explain that. Let's go to Revelation, which is the end of everything. Where all things come to conclusion. The end. Genesis and Revelation. The rest is the path. Revelation 21. I think, which version? Amplified. Yes, we work. Yes. 20. We are reading the whole this thing. Look, Bible, Paul even instructs Timothy that you must give yourself to public reading of scriptures. So I'm going to read this scripture, not to explain it. It is self-explanatory. Amen. Then I saw, then I saw a new sky, that is the heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth has passed away, vanished. You don't know where they're going to. And there no longer existed any sea. Mm. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband. Then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct voice, saying, "See, the abode of God is with men, and he will live and camp tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall no more. Neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain, nor anymore, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "See, I make all things new." And he said, "Record this, for these sayings are faithful. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy, and true." That's they are genuine. And he further said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I myself will give water after without price from the fountain, springs of the water of life. He who is victorious shall inherit all these things, and I will be God to him, and he shall be my son." But as for the cowards and the ignoble and the contemptible and the cravenly looking encouraged and the cowardly submissive. Hey, you see, cowardly because of fear, you are submissive. Hey. And as for the unbelieving and the faithless, and as for the depraved and the defiled with abomination, and as for murderers and the lewd and adulterous and the practitioners of magic arts and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those who knowingly convey untruth by word or deed, all of these shall have their part in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Let's continue. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven final plagues, afflictions, calamities, came and spoke to me. He said, "Come with me. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Then in the spirit, he conveyed me away to a vast and lofty mountain. And He exhibited to me the holy, hallowed, consecrated city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, clothed in God's glory, in all its splendor and radiance. The luster of it resembled a rare and most precious jewel, like jasper, shining clear as crystal. And it had a massive and high wall with 12 large gates, and the gates that were stationed 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were written. Amen. And on the east side, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, that's stones, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Hey, you see, nobody can get this. You cannot compare yourself to the people who were supporting Jesus Christ. They were there from the beginning. That's why you must be part of the church. To the time the church, God will come and call us. Because their names are written on foundations. Like if you go to heaven, fundamental stones, you know, their names are there. You see Peter and the rest, their names are on there. Hey. And he who spoke to me had a golden measuring rod to measure the city and its gates with and its walls. The city lies in a square. This is mathematics. You learn square here. Only 7 feet is a square. Amen. Its length being the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia, about 1,500 miles. Its length and width, height are the same. So this is mathematics, the square. So we learn something new. And he measured its wall also, 144 cubits, about 72 yards, by a man's measure of a cubit from his elbow to the third finger, so that from here to here, which is the measure of the angel. And the wall was built of jasper, while the city itself was of pure gold, clear and transparent like glass. The foundation stones of the wall of the city were ornamented with all of the precious stones. The first foundation stone was jasper. The second was sapphire. Let's move to 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each separate gate being built of one solid pearl. And the main street, the broadway of the city, was of gold, as pure and translucent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God, omnipotent himself, and the Lamb himself are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun nor of the moon to give light to it, for the splendor and the radiance, the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nation shall walk by its light, and the rulers and the leaders of the earth shall bring into it their glory. And its gates shall never be closed by day, and there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory, the splendor, and the majesty, and the honor of the nations into it. But nothing that defiles or profane or is unwashed shall enter it, nor anyone who commits abomination, unclean, detestable, morally repugnant things, or practice falsehood, but only those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So you see this very faithful reading of this scripture. You see that only those who have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when you become born again, your name is in heaven. Your name is in heaven. Amen. There are a lot of scriptures that I can read for you, but we are working with time. Amen. You see? So your name is written in heaven. So you see, this is a blessing to have a name in the mega book a book of Jesus. That is the book of people who are ruined. The book of people who come and sit with me or share my inheritance. Oh, it's a great blessing. Some of us are here sharing some people's inheritance. People, what people, they fought for their people and lived and worked and caused and established their country. That's what you are sharing. What of ours? You see? So, it's an opportunity. And these people, you are here with them, but they are taking something from us. It's not all free. As we see, it's free. Nothing is free. Mm-hmm. No lunch. Bishop said, no lunch is free. No lunch. You cannot get a lunch for free. So, it's for ladies. Mm. No lunch is free. If a brother takes you... if a brother takes you on lunch, hey! The next thing you expect is... Mm. Amen. So, you see, this is not free. But when you accept Jesus Christ, oh, because of our salvation, we have this sharing with Jesus Christ. And that one, there's no tax. Nobody is going to tax you. Or nobody is going to take your money. Or ask you to pay this thing to get this. Get this thing. Look, nobody. Nobody. Amen. And the only way by which your name can be written in the name is by accepting Jesus Christ. Jesus will recognize you. And not count you among my sheep. Like, these are the people I follow up on. These are people that I count as my own. Amen. Amen. That's the only way. That's the way. So your name is written in the book of life. So are you excited about that? Yes. It's not American booklet. So that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about your name being written in the Lamb's book. When Jesus Christ is going on visitation, or the people I think about, Obefa, Nobeka, Esinam. You see? He will pick the book and say, oh, these are people I'm thinking about. What does this person need? You see, all these things are part of, but we don't see it, and but we put our emphasis on other things, and we think, oh, if I can get this green card, my name went out. Next 5 years, I'll become a citizen. They will fingerprint me, and that's it. It's like, oh, afa, I have access to credit cards, I have access to banking. I can bank money and anywhere. But you don't know. There's a more precious place for you. And your values will not be that you don't have this. So you cannot serve God. You have lost sight of the blessing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So always acknowledge that this is a blessing. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to have your name in the Lamb's book of life. The last one. You will go to heaven. The new Jerusalem. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 2 again. And a great... Oh, no. Sorry. I said 21, verse 1. Sorry. Then I saw a new sky. And a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished, and there no longer existed any sea. Verse 2, and I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and is being decorated like when you are going to meet your bride, your husband, on your wedding day. That's how the city. So that's how we are going to be decorated. You see, don't let our hope be just limited to or restricted by the fact that on your wedding day you dress nice and you go and meet your husband or your husband to be. You see, it's a limited hope. But there's a far hope that you'll be decorated somewhere. And this, the new heaven. Now God is going to Jerusalem, you will be part of it. You will go. What did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 4? He said, look, believe on me and believe in my Father and believe in me too. For I have a place to go. And where I go, that's where you will be. He's going to the Father, and that's where you will be. It's a great hope. It's a great hope. Like when you are in Ghana anywhere apart from America or Europe. And your mother is coming. He said, no, next family, me to me call. The next person is to be me. Do you see? It's like your hope is that because of my mother is here, I will come. Do you see? And you see, when you were in high school, you see that a lot of people did not study because they know that, I will move. As for America, I will come. I will ask for America. And they used to tell us when they wear their clothes, they tell us, my mother is in America. But you, when you turn your left, you turn your right. Hey! What a pity. Hey! Do you see? But this, you go to heaven. They just say, why is that? That's the place you also be. That's the place you also be. So don't take your salvation for granted. Enjoy your salvation. This is a blessing. It's a blessing to have your name in heaven. It is a blessing to have your sins forgiven. It is a blessing to have someone die for your sins. It's a blessing to be a son of God. A lot of blessings. Amen. So don't harden your heart when you hear the call of God. Don't harden your heart when God stretch forth his hand and say, come, come, for today is the day of your salvation. Don't harden your heart. Look, if you are not born again, all these things that we've just studied, you, your sins be forgiven, you be the son of God, you go to heaven. Look, forget it. Opposite will happen to you. Opposite. If it's heaven, you go to hell. Opposite of a blessing is a curse. And you'll be in anguish. You remember that a boy stood before you and was telling you about these things. It will be as though it's a film. Look, the rich man in hell, he remembered everything as though it was happening live. He remembered the name of the people. He said, five brothers. Then he said, two. You know that my father gave birth to six of us. I'm here. Five of them are there. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. His memory was alive. You remember, eh? You remember. You remember Bia. You remember. As for your remembrance, you will never forget it. That somebody, or maybe you met someone somewhere, you insulted the person. Because the person wants to talk to you about this. Be careful about that. Don't harden your heart when God is calling you. Because God has a lot of blessings for you. You think your company has a bigger plan for you? No. The way you work, no, they don't have a better insurance for you. God has a better insurance, a better hope, and a better place for you to be. Don't harden your heart when you hear the call of God. Don't harden your heart. Look, don't trust in your money. I cannot say anything better than this. Or anything more valuable to you than for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will save you. He will preserve you. Oh, the thing that you desire, God will give them to you. It's a great blessing to be a child of God. A great blessing to be. Someone, let's be on our feet and pray. Inda la baba sendele belebe sokoto kalaba kasakalaba lebe sendele belebe sakata la balaba. Someone pray to God that you acknowledge, you will get begin to acknowledge and begin to recognize the things which are in you because you are in Christ Jesus. La basokoto lobo. Bible says because of ignorance, because you don't know, you will perish. La bato soto lobo lobo. Inda la ba sendele belebe kanto sana la balaba. Inda la ba sendele yato kapasata la balaba. Lembrendo sendele be koto. Father, we pray, oh Lord, that the communication of our faith may become very effectual, oh Lord Jesus. Inna la bakete lebo koto kasaka la bakete lebelebe. Inna la baba yante lebe koto lobo yanda la balaba. Inna la baba kolobo lobo sende lebe 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 lebe. Inna la ba santa la ba.
A place to stay.
What a blessing.
In the place I say, in your presence, Lord. So we draw nearer, so we draw nearer, nearer, nearer.
Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Open, open our eyes. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to know. Help us to acknowledge. Help us to perceive. Help us to acknowledge these things, sir. The blessings, sir. Oh, of being your son. The blessing of our sins is forgiven. Ah, that the devil will not torment us again. In Alaba Ketolobo Lobo San Alaba Lava Kentele Bele Bele Bele. In Alaba Kayaba Lava 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 San Alaba Katekele Bele Bele. In Alaba Lava 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 San Alaba Lava Lava San Alaba Kata San Alaba Lava. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word which has come. Father, I pray, O Lord, that you sanctify us by your word, O Lord. For your word is true. Cause us to recognize, cause us to appreciate, cause us to perceive the blessings that we receive through your salvation that has come to us. We are so grateful, O Lord, for coming to die for us. We are so grateful that you are mindful of people like us and for you to go on the cross for people like us. O Lord, what a blessing is it for us. It is an honor. And so we are so grateful. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. With all eyes closed, with every head bowed, you are here today. You've heard from the pulpit. You've heard the Holy Spirit speak to you. And God is saying, you must give your life to him. That's the only way you can receive these blessings. These blessings we are talking about, you can't receive anything. There's a room at the cross for you. Though millions of people have given their life to Christ, yes, there's still room for you especially. God has died on the cross just because you will be saved. He has taken your shame upon himself. He has despised everything. He has suffered everything just because of you. And God is calling. Don't harden your heart. Don't be like the rich man. Hear for the word of the Lord. That come unto me, and I will not be ashamed. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart, and I knock. If you will open unto me, I will come and sup with you, and you with me. Don't harden your heart. If you are here today, you are not born again. Hey, you are not born again. It is very dangerous for you. I'm not trying to scare you, but that's the truth. I cannot tell you anything. Anything that I will tell you is going to be a lie. But than for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. You are here today. You are not born again. You want to say, Jesus Christ, I want to give my life to you. I want to live my life for you. I want to enjoy these blessings of salvation. Put up your hand and we'll pray with you. Don't harden your heart. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room. No, millions of people are saved, but there's still room at the cross for you. Is anyone here who wants to give his life to Jesus Christ? He saw a life. Don't harden your heart. Once again, I'm saying, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Do not. For this is the day of your salvation. Don't live your life based on chances that you live tomorrow. Tomorrow is never promised to anyone. You may never know God will come right when we live here. Don't go out of this place not being saved. It will be dangerous for you. Is someone here want to give his or her life to Jesus Christ? I want everyone to pray this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner who is condemned to hell. Jesus, I thank you. Oh, for when love was what is required, you saw me with eternal eyes and you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Come into my heart. Come and be the Lord of my life. Oh, Jesus, I surrender every aspect of my life to you. Take control of my life. Oh, be the Lord of my life. Oh, from today onwards, oh, I want you to direct me. I want you to show me what to do, where to go, and even what to partake in. Jesus, thank you for saving me. And now say, Satan, hear me, oh Satan. I will no longer live for you. I have been bought by your precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Oh, Jesus Christ has died for me. I'm no longer your servant, Satan. I will live for Jesus and I will die with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.